And now, Don Blackwell.
Welcome to today's program. I want to encourage you to get your Bible and to follow along with our lesson today. We're going to be studying from the Old Testament, particularly from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. While you're turning in your Bible, I want to give you a little bit of history to bring you up to speed for today's chapter. At this point in Israel's history, they were suffering from a severe drought. In fact, it had not rained for a period of 3.5 years. In fact, things had gotten so bad that we even find the king himself, King Ahab, out searching the land, trying to find springs. But not only were they suffering from a drought of rain, they were suffering from a spiritual drought as well. You see, many of the people had turned away from following the Lord, and the king had led the way. Evil King Ahab, with his doubly wicked wife Jezebel, had long forsaken the commandments of God, and they had turned to following the idol gods, Balaam. And their evil, their turning away from following the Lord, was the reason for the drought. It was a punishment from God. In 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1, Elijah pronounced the punishment to Ahab. He said, "As the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, except at my word." James 5 and 17 says, "And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months." When we come to 1 Kings chapter 18, the Lord has decided that He's going to lift the drought. And so He sends Elijah to go and to tell King Ahab the news. That's where we're going to begin today. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth." So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. The famine, no doubt, was a result of the drought that was taking place. And Ahab called Obadiah, who was in charge of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so that while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them, 50 to a cave, and had fed them with bread and water. Apparently, Obadiah was a person who worked for King Ahab, and though Ahab was a wicked man, Obadiah was a God-fearing man. Obadiah had a position similar to that Joseph held in the house of Potiphar. Verse 5 says, "And Ahab said to Obadiah, Go into the land to all the springs of water and to all of the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass to keep the horses and the mules alive so that we will not have to kill any livestock." So they divided the land between themselves to explore it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. The king comes to Obadiah and he says to him, "We have got to find provisions for the livestock." He said, "I want you to go one direction looking. I'm going to go the other direction looking, and we'll see what we can find." Now listen to verse number 7. "Now as Obadiah was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him, and he recognized him, and he fell on his face and said, 'Is that you, my Lord Elijah?' And he answered, 'It is I. Go tell your master, Elijah is here.' So he said, 'Have I sinned that you are delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. And when they said he is not here, he took an oath from them, from that kingdom or nation, that they could not find you. And now you say, Go tell your master Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from you, that the Spirit of the Lord will take you to a place that I know not. And when I come with Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Was it not reported to my Lord what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and with water? What takes place is while Obadiah is out looking for water, he comes across Elijah. And Elijah says, go and tell Ahab that I'm here. And Obadiah panics. He says, don't you know he's been looking everywhere to kill you? Don't you know that he has gone to every kingdom and nation and said to them, do you know where Elijah is? And when they said no, he made them swear with an oath that they did not know. When he finds you, he wants to kill you. And he said, and now you're saying to me, go and tell him I'm here? And if I go and get him and I come back and you're not here, he'll kill me. Apparently, Obadiah had the idea that maybe Elijah was taunting Ahab. And he thought that the Spirit of the Lord would call him away and Ahab would arrive and Elijah would be gone. He said, don't you know I'm a good man? Please don't do this to me. Verse 14, and now you say, go tell your master Elijah is here. He will kill me. Then Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today. And so Obadiah went to meet Ahab, and he told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Then it happened, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? Friends, this verse is very interesting, because Ahab and his wickedness and the wickedness of his family and his wife, they were the reason that Israel was being punished by this drought. But when he sees Elijah, the prophet of God, the faithful one, he tries to call him the one who has caused the trouble. You know, some things never change. Still today, when we have individuals who stand for the truth and oppose that which is wrong, those who are doing wickedness try to blame them as being the source of the trouble. Well, Elijah wasn't going to take that. The Bible says in verse 18, he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. I want you to notice verse 19. Very interesting here. Elijah makes a request to King Ahab. He says, now therefore send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel and the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. I've often wondered, why did not Ahab just kill Elijah? He'd been looking for him, apparently wanting to kill him, and he finally finds him, and Elijah says, I want you to gather all of the people together and all of the false prophets for me. And the king agrees to do it. I don't know why. Perhaps he reasoned this way. Perhaps he thought, I'll humiliate him in front of all of the people. I don't know the reason, but he complies. Verse number 20 says, so Ahab sent for all of the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. I want you to notice verse number 21, because in this verse, Elijah asked the people a very pointed question. It's a question that certainly needed to be asked then, and it's a question that still needs to be asked today. Listen to verse 21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? How long will you falter between two opinions? Now, from this point on, for the rest of the chapter, we're going to notice three points. We're going to notice the options, we're going to notice the odds, and we're going to notice the outcome. Those three points. And that phrase, how long will you falter between two opinions, that's going to be the title of today's lesson. Okay, point number one is the options. Notice verse 21. Elijah came to all of the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? Now, what were the two opinions that Elijah was talking about? Look at the rest of the verse. He says, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. The two options, or the two opinions that we're talking about, is are you going to serve God or are you going to serve Baal? And apparently the people could not make up their mind. Apparently the people were going back and forth on the issue. They were trying to serve both God and Baal. You know, there are a lot of people today who are in that same situation. No, we don't have a lot of Baal worshippers running around, but we have a lot of people today who are living with divided loyalties. They're divided between serving the God of heaven and serving the gods of this world. And so this question is just as needed today as it was thousands of years ago. How long will you falter between two opinions? To the non-Christian, we ask the question, how long will you falter between two opinions? Friends, in congregations of the Church of Christ all over the world, there are individuals who have never obeyed the gospel. They've never been baptized into the Lord's church, and yet they attend faithfully. They attend all of the services. Some of them attend even more faithfully than members of the church, God's own children. And many of these people seemingly want to do right, and yet they just cannot bring themselves to obey the gospel. And we ask them, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. Why do you continue to deny yourself the blessings of being a child of God? You know, one of the great blessings of being a Christian is that we can pray for the forgiveness of our sins. 1 John 1 and verse 9 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, the religious world frequently abuses that verse to say that an alien sinner, all they need to do to have their sins forgiven is to pray. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says that Christians have this privilege. A non-Christian needs to be baptized in water for the remission of sins to contact the blood of Jesus. If you're not a Christian, why do you deny yourself the blessing of being a child of God? Why do you risk your soul day after day? How long will you falter between two opinions? To the denominationalists, we ask the question, how long will you falter between two opinions? Friends, there are many good people who are living each day, supposedly serving the Lord, and yet they have never become one of God's children. They are still living in sin, and they will go into eternity lost if they remain in that situation. And Jesus tells us on the day of judgment, we have a glimpse from Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. He says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And he says, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And have we not in your name cast out devils? And in your name done many wonderful works? And then I will say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Friends, there will be sincere people who will be lost on the day of judgment. I can nearly hear it in their voice as I read the verse, as they say, Lord, Lord, sincere and good people, people who did many wonderful things in the name of the Lord, some being teachers. They said they prophesied, claimed at least to prophesy in the Lord's name, but they're lost people because they did not do the will of the Lord. You know, one of the simplest verses in all of the Bible is going to cause a lot of people to be lost. In Mark 16, 15 and 16, Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned or lost. Many people believe the first part of that verse, but they don't believe the second part, that they must be baptized for the remission of sins. Friends, to the denominationalist, we ask, how long will you falter between two opinions? To the Christian, we ask this question, how long will you falter between two opinions? Now, somebody says, to the Christian? The Christian has already made the decision. The Christian has obeyed the gospel. But friends, you see, there are many Christians who are lukewarm Christians. There are many Christians who are living with divided loyalties. Sure, they've obeyed the gospel. Sure, they may profess to be serving the Lord, but they're tottering between two opinions. They're half-hearted in their efforts. They want to serve the Lord, but they haven't decided to die to self. Friends, a person who lives like that is lost. You see, half-hearted service, being a lukewarm Christian, will not please the Lord. Jesus said that the greatest commandment in the law is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength, and all of your soul. You cannot have divided loyalties and please God. In Matthew 6 and 24, Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." 1 John 2 and 15 says, "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Friends, when it comes to serving God, it is one way or the other. There is no middle ground. Elijah told the people, he said, "You've got two options. Either you're going to serve God or you're going to serve Baal." And today, Jesus says a very similar thing. He says, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters abroad." Matthew 12 and 30. And so to the Christian we ask, how long will you falter between two opinions? How long will you continue to play Christian? How long will you continue to pick and choose which commandments to obey? Well, that's the question that Elijah posed long ago. How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the Bible says the people answered him not a word. In Joshua 24, Joshua gave the people a similar choice. He said, "If it seem evil unto you this day to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve." Joshua 24:21 says, the people said, "We will serve the Lord." But here, the people just stand silently. And they answer not a word. All right, let's go back to our text. Verse number 22. "Then Elijah said to the people, 'I alone am left, a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men.'" Now this brings us to our second point. This is the odds. First we have the options, one way or the other. Then we have the odds. How about these odds? 1 versus 450. Friends, we learn a lesson here. And that is, if a person is going to be on the side of right, oftentimes he is going to be in the minority. But you know, that doesn't matter. The Bible says, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Romans 8 and 31. And Matthew 7, 13 and 14, "Teach us to enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be who go in thereat. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it." But you know, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many people are wrong, and it doesn't matter how many people are right. Exodus 23 and 2 tells us you should not follow a multitude to do evil. It doesn't matter if everyone does wrong. We must still do right. You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul said, "At my first defense," or my first answer, "no man stood with me. All men forsook me." But then he says, verse 17, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, and He strengthened me." Friends, even if all men turn their back, if we'll do right, the Lord will still be with us, and we will be with Him. Notice verse 23 of our text. Elijah says to the people, "Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, He is God." So all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." He said, here's the contest. He said, you call on the name of your gods. You build the altar. You put the sacrifice on it. You call on the name of your God. And I'll call on the name of mine, and the one who answers with fire, that's the true God. That's the contest. They said, we like it. It's a good contest. Verse 25. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one bull of yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many. And call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it." So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it. And they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. Then they leaped upon the altar that was made. And it was so that at the noontime Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Maybe he is meditating, or maybe he is busy, or perhaps he's on a journey, or perhaps sleeping and must be awakened. And so they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, and no one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to the people, Come near to me. So all of the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the 12 sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold two seeds of seed. And he put wood in order, and cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood. And he said, Fill four water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the water. Then he said, Do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, Do it a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he filled the trench with water. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are the God in Israel, and I am your servant. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned your hearts, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Now this takes us to our third point, and this is the outcome. We had the options, the odds, and here's the outcome. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all of the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Friends, isn't this interesting? These people who earlier were silent, these people who answered not a word when Elijah asked them, If the Lord be God, follow Him. The text says they stood there silently. These people now are falling on their faces and saying, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of what the Bible says will happen at the last day. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, and Romans chapter 14 and verse 11 tells us that at the judgment, every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord. Friends, that means that those voices who have never confessed the name of Jesus upon this earth, one day they will. Those atheists who deny the very existence of God, one day they will bow the knee before Him and confess the name of Jesus, and they will be atheists no more. Notice verse 40. And Elijah said unto them, Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. And so they seized them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. Then Elijah said to Ahab, Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain. Friends, in this chapter, we see the options, we see the odds, and we see the outcome. Now, some might think that this was long ago and doesn't have much relevance to us today. But friends, this is a very relevant chapter. Because you see, today, there are only two options. Either you're going to serve the God of heaven, or you're going to serve the God of this world. And the odds are very similar. If you're going to be faithful to the Lord, you are going to find yourself in the minority. And friends, the outcome is going to depend upon your choice. It's going to depend upon the decisions you make in your life and the things that you do or do not do.